Hallelujah. Glory to God. Wow. I'm just relishing in His presence for a moment. God is so good. Hey, y'all, I've been mortally wounded. So if any of you see blood on my body, don't freak out. Okay? And you don't have to bring it to the attention of the person next to you. All right? But today I was in a battle. And they may have shed my blood, but you should have seen what I did to them. I was looking in the mirror today, and as I was shaving my ear, I cut it. So pray that I don't die, okay? By blood loss. Okay, see, I'm just like everybody else. I'm frail. Bless God, I'm human. I do stupid things. Anyway. Praise the Lord. How many of you here are Christians? Raise your hand. All right, I should ask a different question. How many of you here are going to hell? Raise your hand. Nobody. Okay, cool. Great. We just had church. We're all good. What's the most important thing to remember? Jesus is Lord. And what? That our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Listen, that's important. When you know for sure you are saved, when you know for sure you are saved, you live a different life than other people do on the earth. Are you with me? All right, let's buckle up for safety then. Here we go. I want to talk to you a little bit about the law. The law. How about that? Wouldn't that be a fun topic? That's not my title, by the way. Amy says, what's your title? I said, I don't know. We'll get it by the end of the day. Amen. Listen, there's a couple of laws that are in operation. And what I've been witnessing with people that I talk to is that we say we're saved, we say we're Christians, we say we're going to be in heaven. But I see that when troubles come, they look at themselves, they snap from being a position in heaven, they snap right back into their flesh again as being just a flesh person. Amen? And I would like it very, very much if we as a group of people operate according to the Spirit and stay there. Amen? We don't, when troubles come, snap back to the natural things and let fear have a word in our hearts or in our minds. Right? That we don't let the devil take advantage of us through depression, through thinking evil, through pain, through sickness, through shortcomings, that he doesn't take advantage of us by those things. Amen? And it would be nice if all of us were cemented that we are seated in heavenly places, right? So I want to talk about a couple of laws that we can trust in. Amen? So, if you'll go with me first, let's... let's go to Hebrews chapter 7 first. I just want to figure out the way we're going to go on this because there's a lot of wonderful things. You know what we were doing today when we first started? We're going to Hebrews chapter 7, verse 16. You know when we started today and we started singing? Did any of you feel the presence of God? Wasn't that nice? And then after we got through singing, we were shouting praises. Wasn't that nice? Do you know that is probably the most powerful thing we can do as Christians? Probably the very most powerful thing that we can do as Christians. And we'll hit that by the end of this service on how important what we just did is to make it the monumental, single most qualifying factors or identity marker for who we are as people is that we praise and glorify God. That's what we do. We praise and glorify God. And there's a reason for it other than because he's worthy, because he certainly is worthy. He is praiseworthy. All praise belongs to him, and that's an absolute fact. He's glorious, he's virtuous, and he himself is our life. He deserves all of our attention. All of our attention. I'm just going to give you a little prophecy. Ready? The Holy Spirit is going to be poured out in this place. And He's beginning even now. That He's making Himself aware to each and every one of us. That He's not only here in the atmosphere in the room, but He's in each one of us. And collectively, we are glorifying God and magnifying Him, making Him more pronounced, more benevolent, more physically, tangibly here, because we are magnifying Him. Because He is our solution. He is our answer. He is our power. He is life itself, right? So glorifying God and making God all in all is the greatest thing that we can do. And as we do that, we can share that life and that light and that love with other people. But if we don't have it ourselves, if it's elusive to us, if it's a temporary place that we hit for 3 minutes during a song, and that's all there is, we aren't going to be a very good witness into the world. Witnessing is not making a schedule and a to-do list and to mark off how many people I'm going to talk to and convince them to believe the way I believe or go to my church. Witnessing is laying down your free will, your personal life, and glorifying God and letting God stimulate the people around you with His presence and His wisdom and His love and His power that says, I want that to those people. They want it and will be drawn into the kingdom because of the manifest presence of God in you and I. Then they can have a real conversion because they know what it is they're going after, which is the life of God and not a doctrine, not a church. Amen? Amen. So we're going to talk about some laws, and if we start in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 16, here's one. This is talking about Jesus, who has come not according to the law of a fleshly commandment, but according to the power of an endless life. He didn't come because of a fleshly commandment, which was the Ten Commandments that were written in the Bible, but why? A law of eternal life. A law of eternal life. There is a law that is in operation that I wish to make very, very clear to you, that you are participating in that law, but you may not be consciously aware of it. And I want to make it so crystal clear to you of who you are that there is no doubt about it, that it would remove a foothold that the devil may have in some people's hearts and mind. We're not to give place to him, are we? We're not to give place to him. Because you give him an inch, he'll take a mile, won't you? He really will. You crack the door, he'll slide his foot in there and then drag his whole body in pretty soon, amen? And then take everybody captive that's in the house. And we don't want that to happen. So, let me start with a simple law. If you'll move over to Romans chapter 8, and let's look at Romans chapter 8 real quick. Are you with me? In Romans chapter 8, I'm going to start in verse 1 and read 1 and 2, possibly more. So in Romans chapter 8, Paul changes channels from 5, 6, and 7 and dials right into the station on chapter 8, right? And on chapter 8, he starts this way in verse 1. There is therefore now no what? What's condemnation? Criticism. What else? Damnation. What else? Say it louder. Judgment. What else is it? Condemnation. Guilt. Anything else? These are all things that we should never, ever, ever feel again. Look at it. It says, there is now no shame, no guilt, no condemnation, no judgment. What else? What were some of the other words we said it was? What'd you say? Criticism. Okay? We should not experience any of those if that's what condemnation is. Right? We should never, ever, ever again feel inferiority. Never. Never. Never.
Amen.
Go on. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are where? In Christ Jesus, who what? Do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So if you're in condemnation, guilt, shame, criticism, inferiority, you are what? Walking in your flesh. You have forgotten, like Peter says, that your old sins have been washed away. You've forgotten that you've been made clean. Like it says in Peter. Going on to verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from what? The law of sin and death. Amen? I'm going to give you some examples that will cement this so significantly in your heart that each time you think of it, you'll be able to change the channel if you choose to. I pity you if you desire to wallow in hurt, in shame, in unforgiveness, in condemnation, because you are causing sickness in your body by remaining in that. When you have an antidote, when you have the answer and the solution, you must take the pill the Lord gives you for your health, and that is the gospel. Amen? So if you want the doctor to write a script for you, he did. It's a scripture. Amen? To take the pill, the gospel. Dr. Jesus, right? Who is the great what? I'm playing with you, but you're hearing me, right? If you wallow in sickness, if you wallow in disease, if you wallow in inferiority, if you wallow in any of this stuff, you have forgotten that your sins have been washed away. You've forgotten it. And you need to be reminded again that you have been made free. Here's what it says. There is a law in operation. That's the law of life, isn't there? So let's just say this, because sometimes people are sick, they're fearful, they worry, they're under depression, they have condemnation, they have regrets and remorses, and those things seem to be more powerful than the life of God. They seem to be glomming onto us and have a hold of us, and we're in bondage to that at times. Well, do you know what? All you need to do is in one decision break its power. In one second, you repent. In one second, you repent. You change the way you think. We all know this, right? We all know this. But it's being practical on how to do this. So here we go. Darkness. Did God create the darkness? Show me in the Bible where God created the darkness. I asked if he created the darkness. That was my only question. Did God create darkness according to the Bible? Huh? There was darkness. Darkness is present. How many of you know darkness exists? The Bible says that God separated. He said, let there be light. And he separated the light and the darkness. Right? And he called the darkness night and the light day. Right? Genesis chapter 1. Right? We all know that. Is there darkness in this room? Can you see it? Can you experience the darkness right this second in this room? Are you experiencing darkness? Is it present? Yes, it is. Darkness is absolutely present in this room. Close those windows, turn off these lights, and this room will be filled with darkness. The darkness is not coming from some other geography and moving to this geography. It is absolutely present. 24/7, never-ending darkness is in this room. But there is a law that is greater than darkness, and it's the law of what? Light. Amen. And light supersedes darkness. Not sometimes, not occasionally, and not in the right circumstances, and definitely not when God decides that it's so. He decided once that it was so, and it's never changed. When he said, "Let light be," and he separated the light from the darkness. It is separated. There's no mingling of it anymore. Is that true? If you go into a room at midnight, is it dark? Unless there's a light on, yes, there is. Say, "Robert, you're kind of belaboring this point." I am. There's a reason for it. This is an anchor for your soul. You can use this to overcome the devil every single time. Because this is why. Darkness can never swallow up light. So what's the big point of this? All you have to do, if fear has got you, you need to just turn on the light. If sickness has got you, you just need to turn on the light. If anxiety has got you, you just have to turn on the light. If anything of condemnation, guilt, shame has got you, you don't have to war against it. There's no struggle. There's no fight. Jesus accomplished it. All we need to do is turn on the light. Okay? So let me ask you this question. Is it up to God to turn on the light or you? If you think it's you that turns on the light, raise your hand. Because I want to see who doesn't think they're the ones that turn on the light. Probably four of you don't think you're the ones that turn on the light. Okay, good. Verse 2, chapter 8. "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free of the law of sin and death." There's a law of life and there's a law of death. The law of light, which is our natural physical example, that light always supersedes the darkness, means that life always supersedes death. Always. Life swallows up mortality. And if you don't believe me, we can look in Corinthians and see it. Should we look at it? Let's look at it. 1 Corinthians, I'm going to have to find it. I think it's chapter 5. Nope, it could be 2 Corinthians. Where is it? Try 15. That's Awakened to Righteousness. I'll look in my iPad in a second. Anybody know where it is? Mortality swallows up immortality. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I think it is. Here it is. Starting in verse 16. Where? Okay. So it says that, "Therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at things that are seen, but at things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Say it. Oh, chapter 4 I was in. And now, verse 5. "For we know that our fleshly house, this tent, is destroyed. We will have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." 5:2. "For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. We have a spiritual body and we have a fleshly body. But we pray, and it even says it in Romans chapter 8, when the light of God shines upon us and in us, that light is the glory of God. That is what is going to be inflamed, if I can use even that word, because our God is a consuming fire. That is going to be the life immortal. That is going to be the payment for you and I, right? That supernatural payment of God, the glory of God that we've been created to house. That's you and me for all time and forevermore. We shall be the light of heaven by Christ Jesus, who is the light. There'll be no more darkness, none, because darkness will be gone completely by the light, will swallow up all of the darkness, including it in you and I. So this law of the Spirit, this law of light, this law of life is greater than the law of death. Are you with me? How do you flip the switch? Praise. You put on a spirit of praise for a heavy garment. Yes. Speak His word. Stand on His promise. And faith. All those are awesome, aren't they? All those are awesome. And your name is forever written in the Lamb's book of life. You will forever be in the presence of God, so much so that you are right now seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's the fact, Jack. Our five senses are the thing that is the deceiver. It is not the truth. It is an assessment of what's going on in your body. Your five senses give you input into your flesh, but you're not in your flesh. Uh-oh, can I say that? You are not your flesh. You are spirit. And you are going to be alive forever. When I asked who's a Christian and everyone in this room raised their hands, that means every one of you forever is going to live. That means you will never what? You will never die. Hello, you'll never die. You will never, will your body die?
Yeah.
But you will never die. Listen, get a separation. Darkness and light has been separated. They're both here right now. But life and light has swallowed up the darkness in this room. That immortality is going to swallow up your mortal body or identity, right? That the life of God is the real life that is going to overshadow anything in this flesh, right? This is the match. It's just the vessel for the fire. Everybody can look at their match. Oh, my match is fat. Well, it's not as fat as it used to be, praise God. Oh, well, my match has a blue tip on it. And Fred's has a blue tip, and yours has a pink tip on it. Oh, and hers has a red tip on it, and hers is a yellow tip on her match. Oh, don't these matches look so nice? Oh, mine's a paper match. Mine's a wood match. Oh, mine's flint. I don't know. The truth of the matter is, who cares what the match looks like? Light it. Amen. Catch it on fire. That's the only thing we care about a match is to get the fire, right? It's a carrier of the fire. You and I are the carriers of the life of God, and that's all that makes the difference. That's it. The world is looking for the life of God, not me and you. We need to bring that to them by living in it ourselves, that light will swallow up any darkness that may be crowding in us. Amen? Here's a simple example if I can do this. A TV set. We're going to go back, woo, to the 60s. Back in the 60s, we did not have cable. We had antennas. And our TV sets had rabbit ears, or else, if our dads really did it right, we had an antenna up on our roof or on a long pole. And if we were rich, we could turn a little dial and the antenna would go tick, 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 and we'd be able to point it in a direction and get another channel. If you weren't rich, you had one person staring at the screen, another guy outside through the window going, a little bit more, and you tune that thing in and, yeah, that right there, right there, leave it right there, okay. Or if we had rabbit ears, when I grew up, it was like, get them just right. And I'd tell my sister, no, a little bit more, right there. And she'd let go and we'd lose the channel. I go, no, hang on to the antenna. I want to see the show. Just hold it. Because your body's a natural antenna, right? It got a little better when you're touching it. Same with the radio. You guys know what I'm talking about, don't you? You tune in your radio, you get your antenna right, you get it just right, you walk away and it goes fuzzy on you. Because your body's a natural antenna. TV sets and radios. The music is not in the radio. The program is not in the television. Is it? The television shows you the program. The radio projects the music. But if you open it up inside, the music and the program are not inside. They are in a completely different place, aren't they? I may have my TV set right here in my living room, tuned in just right to the show that I want to watch, because it's on a certain channel, isn't it? And I watch that show, and all of a sudden, it's bloodshed, violence, sex, and I'm going, ugh, this show makes me feel bad. Oh, I hate TV. Oh, I hate TV. Ugh. My wife will walk in the room. She'll go over there, change the channel. All of a sudden, I'm watching Little House on the Prairie, and I'm going, oh, I love TV. TV is great. I love TV. This is wonderful. What happened? I changed the channel. The signal that was being broadcasted are in two different frequencies. And when you tune in to one frequency, you get death and shame and garbage, poor self-esteem, condemnation, shame, rejection. Poverty, shortcomings. They're all on that channel. Then somebody comes along and changes the channel on you. Tells you there's another channel you can watch. And in that channel you have life and joy and freedom. And you turn the channel and you start receiving that. And now you're broadcasting life, joy, freedom, prosperity. Why? Because you're tuned in to a different channel. Do either content come from the TV? Is a TV originating any of it? No. Neither is your body. Your body is the television. Your flesh is the TV. And your flesh, like I told you in the natural, it's a natural antenna. If you don't believe me, touch the antenna and see if the station doesn't come in clearly. You are a naturally built by God antenna to receive signals. Are you tuned into the TV station that is sending out these programs of death and sickness? Because that's the programming that station plays on that channel. That's their preferred choice to reach their designated audience. Or this channel, Christian TV, with all these godly programs that make you feel better about yourself and tell you about the wonderful things that God is doing. These two stations, this one is called the world. And if you're receiving your signals from your body telling you the truth, this world is lying. It's a channel that you no longer, it's darkness, it's blackness, it's death, right? But if you will be that I am seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, He relocated us from the kingdom of darkness and relocated us into the kingdom of light, right? Does it say that in your Bibles? Yes, it does, in Colossians and in Ephesians, right? He moved you. You are in heaven, seated in heavenly places. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You have everlasting life in God. No more can the fear of death hold you. Why? Because you can't die. You can't die. You can't die. This is where you go, hallelujah! Listen to me. You can't die. Your TV set could go kaput, can't it? This TV set could go kaput, and when it goes kaput, no more sending out a signal. Has it changed the broadcast station? It hasn't touched the broadcast system. Anyone that will tune into that system gets that programming. Anyone that tunes into that system gets that programming. The problem is we think about that channel, but we're watching this one. We can't do that. Light always overshadows darkness. Life swallows up mortality. You are going to, by the Spirit of God, burst into glory at Jesus' return. That you are going to be like flames of fire. That you are going to, Malachi says, walk on the ashes of the people of this world. Because when Jesus comes, this is a doctrinal issue that I'm not saying this is true doctrinally. I'm saying it's true by what the Bible says. But I'm not making a doctrinal point right now. I'm just saying what the Bible says, okay? I never want to let anyone's doctrine get in the way of what the Word of God says. You know best. I'm being sarcastic, just in case you don't know. There are people that are going to believe what they believe regardless of how many times I show it to them in the Bible. Okay? So that's why I say, if you wallow in your sickness, I pity you because you refuse to change the channel. If you have pain and sorrow and suffering, change the channel. Your body is not you. You're connected to it. Oh, are you ever connected to it? Boy, I could be asleep and I can be in my dreams out there somewhere in Tahiti, surfing and eating coconuts, sucking through a straw, swinging on my hammock and having a great time. My cat jumps on my body while I'm asleep. Bang, I wake right up and so much for Tahiti, I'm back in the bedroom. I'm connected to this flesh right now. I am definitely connected to it. I have an anchor tied me to this flesh. I could be driving in my car and going along, thinking about, I can't wait to get home. I'm going to do this when I get there. Oh, maybe I got to mow the lawn. If I mow the lawn, I got to get gas for the lawn mower. Pretty soon, I'm in my yard mowing my lawn while I'm driving down the road. You know that? My body's in the car, but I'm not. I'm in my yard thinking about mowing my lawn. I've moved, right? Right, till the red light comes and the car in front of me stops. All of a sudden, whoa! Back into my body I come, quickly and instantly. There I am, present in my flesh. You're connected to your flesh, but your flesh is not who you are. Your flesh is the vehicle that you will be using while you're on this earth. Because in order to inhabit this earth, you have to have a body. That's why the demons went into the pigs. They thought they had a little bit more time. Okay? When Jesus cast them out of the Gadarene man, into the pigs they wanted, because you have to have a body to be on the earth. That's just the way it is. But you are not your body, no more than those pigs were the life of those demons that took it over. Are you with me? It feels like you're alive in your body. It feels like that's who you are. But it's not. Because all of us know that when somebody dies, the lights are out and they're not home anymore. They don't just cease to exist because the body perished, do they? None of us believe that. But when it comes to living in our flesh, when it comes to overcoming sickness, poverty, rejection, problems of our past, it's amazing how we call that real. Instead of forgiving, cutting it loose, and that's not who I am anymore. I had somebody in this room today that I let them know, I said that, you know, God uses sickness. God uses sickness. There's people that actually believe that God allows you to be sick so that you can learn something. How many of you believe that's true? Two of us. I just say me because I raised my hand. You know what the chastisement of the Lord is? You know what it means when he scourges you, like it says in Hebrews? That he scourges you, he chastens you. What is the chastening of the Lord? What is that? Go ahead, anybody. Shout it out. What is it when God is chastening you personally? Huh? I can't hear you. Loving you? No. He loves you, it never ends. That never ends. But that's not the chastening. What?
Testing.
Conviction. To change. I would say that's the closest answer. Let's look at that real quick. Go to Hebrews with me. Let's start in chapter 2. Starting in verse 14. Hebrews chapter 2, starting in verse 14. It says, "Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood," that's you and me, we've partaken of flesh and blood. It didn't say, my children are flesh and blood. Old Testament says he knows that we're just flesh and blood, because they were. But he's moved us. He's moved us. He has moved us. "Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil." So Jesus died to destroy the power of death, right? Verse 15, "and release those who through the fear of death were all their lifetimes subject to bondage." I can't even tell you how many people I meet that are afraid to die. They are scared to death of dying. No, they're not scared to death. They're scared of death. Aren't they? Jesus took away the fear of death. When you know, you are eternal. You will never die. You can't die. It's impossible for you to die. You've been relocated to the Spirit. The Spirit is eternal. If you've been born of God, you've been relocated from the physical body into the kingdom of God. And the TV station of the kingdom of God is what's projected on the screen of your life today. You're not in the box. You're not in the box. You're in heaven. You're projecting it here. If I walked into the TV station and I looked, I wouldn't see the show. I need a TV set to see the show, right? I need to show the kingdom of God. I show you what I'm watching by the way my life is going. I show you what I believe by the way my life is going. I show you what I call the truth by what I'm speaking and showing you. I show you, just like my TV set shows me what channel I'm tuned to and what program I'm playing. Are you with me? When I change the channel, the set will show me a different program. Right? This is where self-control comes in and the chastening of the Lord. Self-control on its own accord changes the channel and puts its attention back on God and says what God says, glorifies God, gives him the preeminence of their life, speaks faith with confidence, with boldness, because they know they are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus and their name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And there's no doubt about it. They'll prove it to you because that's who they are. It'll come flying out of your mouth because it's the truth of who you are. But if your programming is on the world and on soap operas, which I don't even know if they have soap operas anymore. Some of you are saying they do. Uh-oh. You just exposed yourself. You just exposed yourself. Anyway, the programming that you're paying attention to, the stuff that you're calling real, the stuff that you say is the truth, the stuff that you say is happening to you, is the stuff that everyone else gets to see. The Bible says in James, do not lie against your own heart. Don't do it. You've been moved into heavenly places. You've been seated in Christ Jesus. You are a son or a daughter of God for all eternity. It's a done deal. It's already happened. You don't need it to happen. You have eternal life. But until you know that's true about you, you will still let the days of our lives come out of your mouth, your attitude, and especially the way you deal with other people. Are you with me? Nobody's walked out yet. Praise God. We're still going on. Light overrules darkness every time. If you don't believe that light is going to flood your spirit by the life of God, then you have no business being a Christian, because that's what we believe. We believe that we've been given the down payment of the Spirit of God, and therefore we walk in Christ, putting on Christ Jesus. We've tuned our channel into the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, we put on Christ on our TV set. So if you come to this TV set, I've put on Christ. So every bit that comes out of this TV set is going to be what? Christ. Why? Because I've put it on Christ. If I put it on TBN, you get TBN if you come to my house. If I put it on tragedies of this world is what you're going to get. But I've put mine on Christ, right? I've set my antennas on things above to get the signal in, and not on the things on the earth to get the signal in, right? I've retuned my antenna. This body is a natural antenna. It's tuned to heaven. And as I do that, I realize my life is hidden in Christ. And I can come to the place to say that it's no longer the old programming that lives, but now it's Christ in me, which is my hope of glory and yours too. Sickness, disease, shortcomings, emotional instability, depression, poverty. It's all because over this past years of your life, bad programming. That means that since the program's been in there so long, you need a real revelation. You need a real revelation of a different channel to tune into. And then you've got to deliberately reprogram. Here's the funny thing. If I get around other people, they have a wonderful way of moving my antenna to what they like to watch. Good or bad. If I get around ungodly people, they're going to do their best to tune my channel into their ungodliness so that we can all be together. But if I'm around you all, I can set my mind on things above and I can operate according to the Spirit of God. Amen? So, let's look at a scripture. 1 Corinthians 6, chapter 12 through 17. And then for Emmy, after that, I want to go to, I've got so many scriptures here. Hebrews 13, 15. I'll just go straight to that. After we do 1 Corinthians 6, verse 12. If you guys got your own Bible, I would encourage you to look. Are you with me? 1 Corinthians 6, 12 through 17. I'm going to begin reading. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. You can tune your channel to anything you want. It just may not be the best thing for you. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Food is for the stomach, and the stomach for food. But God will destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God both raised up the Lord and will also raise us up by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Certainly not. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two, he says, shall become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. You can put your attention on anything you want. You have that right. But not everything you put your attention on is helpful to you. And especially not to identify yourself with the destruction and the curse of this world. Because you've been joined to the Lord. You're one spirit with the Lord. He is your life and he is forever your God and your life. Amen? So now, here's the rub. If you're sick, or you got pain in your body, or you got something going wrong in your life, whose responsibility is it to remove it? God's or yours? Mine. And if I don't have the power, if I don't have the mindset, if I don't have the strength, if I don't have the intestinal fortitude to make it go, then I get around other people that are strong in the Lord and I get their faith with mine and we work together. Because he promised that if two or three of us get together concerning anything, he'll be in the midst of it all, right? And then we can get the darkness covered up with the light. And let me say this, in the light, in heaven, is there sickness? Where does it go? If you have sickness in your body and then you die, this body dies with sickness in it, and you go to heaven, where's the sickness at? But the spirit's sick, right? If you got cancer, you have cancer, right? Or is it the body that has cancer? Oh, wait a second. Are you sure? It's the body that has cancer or is sick, not you. Are you positive? I've heard a few people say, I have. Are they lying against their own heart? They sure are. They had forgotten that their old sins have been paid for and that they're new creations. They forgot. But when this flesh dies and I don't use it anymore, do I stop existing? I'm with the Lord. And you know what? When you see me in the Lord, I'm young, I'm strong, I'm certainly good looking, and I'm pain free and full of life and just magnify and glorify the Lord. You too, right now, that's you. When you shed your body and you're in heaven, the way you look in heaven is the way you look inside your body right now. Your body's lying to you by giving you a false image of who you really are. It's up to you to take authority over it and make it line up with the Word of God and the truth of who you really are. Are you with me? Do you think that comes in 1 second? No, revelation can come in 1 second. But you have to walk out the habit of watching the old programs. There's some programs that I've watched that they just got darker and darker and darker and darker. And finally I go, I don't like this show anymore. I don't like it anymore. But you know what? When I get home, it's an invisible thing that happens when the clock strikes that hour that show's on. It's amazing how I find my butt in the chair in front of the TV. Why? I got a habit of doing that. Even though I don't like it anymore, I need to break that habit and do something different. Here, go to the last verse I gave you. Hebrews chapter 13. This will help you. Can darkness ever, 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 even one time overcome light? Can darkness swallow up light? Never. Why? It's a law. Gravity is a law. Aerodynamics supersedes the law of gravity. Gravity is always in effect, but aerodynamics overrules the law of gravity. It's a higher law. Light is a higher law than darkness. Life is a higher law than death. Spirit is a higher law than flesh. So your my goal is that the spirit of who I am is what people see, not the flesh. The match is lit and the glory of God shines forth from me. Looking at 13. Okay, I'm going to go straight for 15. I want to back up. But 15 says this. Therefore, by Him, capital H, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips giving thanks to His name. How often do we need to do that? How often? Continually. How about this one? Rejoice in the Lord. And again I say, continually, always. We're supposed to have an attitude of thanksgiving in all things. Right? So let me just, I know you're right there, Amy, but let me just read from verse 7. I'm going to read 7 down to 15 and then I'm going to let you go. Remembering those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you. People don't like that. That's a whole teaching by itself. But I want to let you know something. Whoever brought you into the kingdom of God has been walking the walk longer than you have. And you should look at their life to see how to live yours. When you come to church, you should look at leadership's life and see how they live their life. And that's how you should live yours, according to God. Look what it says. Remember those who have the rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do not be carried about with various and strange doctrines. For it is good that the heart be established by grace, not with foods which have no profit, not with food which have not profited those who have been occupied with them. We have an altar from which those who serve the tabernacle have no right to eat. For the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin is burned outside the camp. Therefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gates. Therefore, let us go forth to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. All he's saying is that, ladies and gentlemen, it's not about the food and this life. It's about being outside the camp, focused on the kingdom of God, that's where you are, not caught up in this mess, that you're going to live forever. So praise God continually. Rejoice continually. You are already finished. You're already finished. Praise the Lord. Give him all the glory for it. Father, we just thank you for your glory. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for your word. We thank you for what you're showing us, Lord. We give you all the praise, all the glory. We worship you. We thank you. God, you are good all the time. You've delivered us from the devil and from death. You've delivered us from sickness and sin. You've delivered us from poverty and destruction. You've delivered us from it all. And Jesus, you said it is finished. That we are new creations, citizens of heaven, seated in heavenly places, sons and daughters of the Most High God, filled with the glory of God, by the Spirit of God, we're sanctified from this world, operating in the power of God by the Spirit of God within us. That Jesus, on the cross, you shed your blood, you took the beating, you were pierced and nailed to the wood. That this devil has no more power over us on this flesh, that this flesh no longer tells us who we are. But we are new creations in the citizens of heaven, now saying what you say, being who you are, and doing what you do. From a heavenly place, we take authority over this flesh in Jesus' name, and we speak life over this flesh. We speak holiness over this flesh. We speak immortality over this flesh. That, Father, that we are new creations, living continually in your presence. So, Lord Jesus, anyone in this room that is suffering from a sickness, a disease, an evil report, depression, low self-esteem, any kind of bitterness, any kind of fear, Father, we just lay it down at your feet right now in Jesus' name. And Father, we thank you for the gift of healing, that we receive that gift of being healed in Jesus' name. Father, we receive your life and we give you all the glory for it. Amen.